About 3 weeks ago, I shared with you the state of our youngest granddaughter and the burns on her face. Sarah and I had just been to see her the day before, and her eyes were swollen shut and her face swollen and raw, and it was just really disheartening. And you joined us in prayer, and that afternoon we FaceTimed with her and her mother, and her eyes were open and her skin was beginning to heal. And by that Wednesday, she was well. And her skin has just continued to improve in the day since. And as we've told folks that, people shake their heads and say, you know, it's amazing how little ones heal. Yeah, I think it is. Probably a little beyond that amazement that God has put his hand upon her. And her skin's a little pink, but it's well. It's well, so thank you for your prayers. I wanted to close that loop with you because I know many of you have been faithful to pray. We're picking up the story where Sarah left it off last week as she read in the first chapter of Luke. We continue in these passages dear to the church's heart leading up to the celebration of our Savior's birth. Luke tells the story of what happened in those months leading up to that birth. And so he turns his attention from old Elizabeth and Zechariah to a young girl named Mary. So a Jewish girl 2,000 years ago, how much could you and I possibly have in common with her? Well, hang out. We're about to see. We're going to be reading in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And let's pray together first. Lord, this is your word, and we know from past experience that we're perfectly capable of hearing the truth read and having it go right by us. So we're depending upon you, Lord. We're depending upon your spirit to take your word and pull it deep within us and then bring it to life in our hearts. We pray in the name of the Savior. Amen. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Mandy said to herself, "At least I'm just barely pregnant." She had just found out the results from a pregnancy test, and this was definitely not in her plan. She and Trey were newlyweds, and they had talked about such things, but they envisioned kids way on down the road. And so her mind immediately jumped to, how can I keep life the same here? She thought about her work and her early morning workout buddies and her broader circle of friends and how she would find ways to keep life rolling as it had been. She really liked how life was working. And you know, if one of her friends had come to her and said to her, "Mandy, at least I'm just barely pregnant," she would have laughed out loud. But you know how the mind works and how we don't see our own mental trickery as we try to trim down to size something that's huge in our lives. It's just huge. And we're not sure how we're going to take it in, and so we begin crafting ways to whittle it down to something a little bit more manageable. And Mandy was still in that mode when she called her mom to tell her, and along with all the rationalizing, she actually said it again, "At least I'm just barely pregnant." And her mom gave her the classic mom answer, "Honey, you're never just a little bit pregnant." Now, whether you've ever been pregnant or not, it's not really hard to figure this out. There's new life in you. And it may be small now, but it's not staying small. There is no pause button to push. New life is going to grow, and as it grows, life is going to be different. Mandy had another predictable conversation when she told her husband, Trey, and he couldn't believe his ears. "Pregnant? Really?" She didn't look any different to him, and he asked the predictable husband question, could the test be wrong? And so to satisfy him, and actually to satisfy herself, she took another test, and it came back positive, and so both of them started trying to wrap their minds around this new reality. And before long, there were other visual reminders that came. You know, her belly began to get a little poochy, and somewhere around then, she began to feel stirring inside, and a little later, Trey could actually put his hand on her belly and feel it too. So there was no denying it. The girth was growing, and it meant life was changing, and they could anticipate some of that, just not all of it. They began to rearrange their finances and their schedules and realized that the emotions that were coming were new to them but had to be dealt with, and everything in their lives was having to be arranged around this new little life within. And since it was their first child, they didn't really know all that that would mean. But they were beginning to discover that it was, as all of you who've borne a baby know, you're never just a little bit pregnant. So how do you think it was for Mary? Don't you think she must have wondered, was that really an angel, or did I dream that up? I mean, I have to think that visions of angels must be hard to hang on to, that once it's happened and then you've slept overnight and you get up the next day, you think, was that real? Did that really happen? And then when she remembered what Gabriel had said to her, it just kind of boggled her mind. He said to her, "You're going to bear a son without the help of an earthly dad, and that son's going to be God's son." Really? Wow, how can that be? And it wasn't like she could just check it out. It wasn't like she even had anyone she could sort it out with. Plus, she didn't feel any different. At least not at first. Maybe it hadn't happened. But it all seemed very real. You know, it takes a while to adjust to new life within, and that's how it was for Mary. Gabriel helped her out, though, because he told her of someone else in whose life there was change, her old cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth was pregnant. Wow, the whole family had given up on Zechariah and Elizabeth ever having a baby, and they'd long since passed the age. And next week we'll read about the story just on down the page where Mary went to see for herself. Man, she really must have wanted to know. She lived up in Nazareth in Galilee, and Elizabeth lived down in Judea. It wasn't like just hopping in the car. This was a big journey. But she had to know. She had to go see. She needed some reassurance that there was new life in her. And she shows up, and it's like Gabriel said, old Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant There was no denying the new life. And soon enough, in Mary's own life, the signs were emerging, the morning sickness and her tummy and so on. And she was beginning to understand that you're never just a little bit pregnant. And then it began to shape everything in her life. Her relationship with Joseph suddenly got very complicated. And there was her reputation in the hometown. What would it be like when she went home some months later? Now beginning to show. And all of the anticipated future she had in her mind for herself and for Joseph, it was all different. Every bit of it was different now. And she didn't even know the half of it. She could see just so little of how different it would be. You know, occasionally you hear a story of a girl trying to hide a pregnancy. She doesn't want her family to know a lot of times, and she's in denial herself. And you know how this works. She can only carry that charade on for so long. You can't hide from new life within. And the result is inevitably tragic when you try. It's because you're never just a little bit pregnant. And just as you're never just a little bit pregnant, so you're never just a little bit Christian. You bear the same new life in you that Mary bore. So how are you going to keep that a secret? And yet we try. We spend so much energy trying to fit in where no one will notice the new life within and how it's reshaping us. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where that's going. It just can't be. There is no pause button on the new life in you. It will grow. You will be different. It's unavoidable. The Scripture says that if you believe in Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit has already come upon you. It's already happened. If you believe, He's already come upon you. The power of the Most High has already overshadowed you. Whether you knew the moment it happened or not, it's happened. And the new life within you is none other than the Son of God. Can you take that in? I mean, we know the Mary story. We don't tend to think of ourselves in those ways as bearers of the Son of God. So do you think you can be just a little bit pregnant with that life? How's that going to work? Well, take a hint from Mary. Everything was different now. It's not going to stay little. It's not going to stay convenient. Everything has to be rearranged around this. Your work, your family, your relationships, your finances, your priorities, the visions you had for your future, it's all different. Because that new life in you is going to grow. Everything will be different. It's God's intention to do with you as He did with Mary. He wants to grow Jesus large in you so that you can bring Jesus forth for the world around you. Same story over and over. And yet different in each life. As He puts Jesus in one and then another and another. And you begin to grow. And then have the privilege of being part of God bringing the Savior forth to another. You can't be just a little bit pregnant with that new life. And one of the mountaintop moments for Trey was being present when their daughter was born. Tremendous joy and huge relief when the labor was over. And even as Trey and Mandy rejoiced, they felt profoundly unworthy. Nurse handed them this new life, And it was still hard for them to think of themselves as parents. And they could see how precious this child was. I mean, who were they to be parents to one of God's children? And actually, it wasn't just a feeling. They were right. They weren't worthy. I mean, who's worthy of that? High calling. Yet God had entrusted one of his precious little ones to them. Were they worthy? Well, no, not really. But God is gracious. He's very gracious. And this is true for all of our high callings in life. God gives us these high callings not because we're worthy, but because he's gracious. I mean, look at Mary. Don't let the halos and all the artworks fool you. This was a real live teenage girl. The real deal. Not artificial. She was not altogether. Not even close. Was she worthy to bear the Son of God? Well, no. But God is gracious. And thus Gabriel's greeting to her. Greetings, favored one. Didn't mean she'd won some sort of prize. It meant he was giving her favor. He was bringing the favor of God to her. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. This wasn't a reward for her virtue. It was the incredible windfall of blessing and the approval of the Father who would, through her, bear for the world his Son. Amazing gift, totally undeserved. I mean, think about it. How likely is this? Teenage girl in a podunk town in a remote corner of the Roman Empire with a very limited education, maybe she knew how to read some, scheduled to marry a carpenter who was not anyone of particular note himself. So who was she? Well, she was unworthy, which is precisely the point. It's been God's way of doing his salvation business since forever. He has not changed his plan. We spent most of the summer looking through how this worked in the lives of Abraham and Sarah. He took this, the most unlikely couple possible, to launch his people Israel. Then midway through the story of that nation in the Old Testament, he picks the most unlikely son possible of old Jesse, the runt of the litter, a little squirt of a guy named David, and made him the prototype of the king who would come, the Messiah. I mean, this is all the way through the story of the Old Testament. None of these people were chosen because they were the biggest or the slickest or the best at anything. They were chosen because God is gracious. And so with Mary. And so with you. Because God is gracious, he has made you a bearer of his Son. He's put this new life in you with the express intent that you would grow large with this life and then bear that life forward for others. You're chosen like Mary was chosen to grow large with the life of Jesus and bring him forth. Does that sound possible? It didn't sound possible to Mary. But Gabriel said, nothing will be impossible with God. The Lord does not think it's impossible for you to bear Jesus to those around you. And with him, it's not impossible. Now, this sounds good, doesn't it? Wow. Here we were living for what we thought were noble goals, and then the Lord intrudes and says, I want you to bear my Son into the world. To grow large with him and bear him into the world. I mean, what do you do? How do you even respond to something like that? Well, try out Mary's response. Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Now, along with his favor, the Lord blessed Mary with the most extraordinary kind of wisdom and a great faith. And so she responded in a way that has become a model for us all. Her word can be your word. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. No more pretending that I can be a little bit Christian. No more imagining that I can keep this new life in me manageable and convenient. No more using the cheap excuse that I'm not worthy. I'm ready to grow large with Jesus. I'm ready to bring forth His life for others. Let it be to me according to Your word. And then get ready. It's exactly what He's designed to do. Friends, this is not just good news about what happened long time ago and far away. It's not that safe. It's not that manageable. It's very intrusive, and everything's going to be different. And it's so much better than you ever dare dream. Because hear the news, the good news for you. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and the power of the Most High has overshadowed you, and the new life in you is none other than the Son of God. Now grow large in Him and bring Him forth, and God will be glorified. Now let's pray. Father, what can we say? You are so good and so gracious. Here we are, Lord, Your servants. Let the life of Jesus be refreshed in us. Let the Holy Spirit come upon us and the Most High overshadow us, that the new life in us may be refreshed and grow and swell within and come forth over and over and over for those around us. Let us be bearers of Your Son. Thank You for choosing us in Your grace and ennobling us with this high calling. We will live for no less. And we pray in the name of the Savior. Amen.